Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:13. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Matthew 1:20. Now, what catches your attention in those passages? Is it perhaps that Mary is a virgin? Is it perhaps that a virgin birth was predicted some 700 years before it happened? Is it who is being born? Perhaps the question you have is, why did God desire a virgin birth or decree a virgin birth? And why did he choose Mary? As we prepare for to receive our Lord and Savior about 3 weeks at Christmas Day, we'll try to answer some of these questions over the next 3 weeks. Today we start with Mary. Just who is she? Now, we know she's not the one sitting back there doing the sound. That's not the same Mary. Our knowledge of Mary is very scant and comes really from the scriptures and some audiophoric writings, and is very limited. We know that Mary was born in Nazareth of Galilee. We know that that area is considered very backward to the most Jews in the other areas. It's kind of the hillbilly state, if you will, according to them. According to tradition, she was born around 18 BC, and her parents were Jocham and Anne, and they were thought to be very faithful Jews. So thus she would have knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures and these prophecies. It would appear that she was just a typical Jewish girl, you know, whose really one desire was to be married, because, I mean, that's about all they had to do. There was no jobs for ladies in those days, except for that as a wife and the duties that they have, which were severe. So she was looking for a husband. And at that time, when people, they would betroth people, and being engaged at that time was a very, very serious matter. It was a long contract, and it had severe consequences if it was not fulfilled. So that much we know for sure. We know nothing of her appearance or her intellect, but we do know that God chose her to be his vessel in which salvation was brought to us. Now, we will never know really why God chose Mary until we get to heaven, but perhaps we can consider these few things here. First of all, Mary was of the right lineage. Luke traced Mary's lineage, through David, Boaz, Judah, Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, and her son would therefore be qualified to bear the title Son of David and be a righteous branch that was to come from David's family, as we read in Isaiah earlier. We know that Mary was engaged to a man whose heritage also would require him to visit Bethlehem, the city of David, at just the right time. The prophet Micah had foretold many years before that the birthplace of the Messiah would be Bethlehem in Judea. He pinpointed it there. Now, many virgins have probably come and gone and known God's favor and may have been descended from King David, but not many would also be carrying a child and be in the small town of Bethlehem when it was time for the Messiah to be born. Mary was a virgin. We're told that in the scripture, and scripture doesn't lie. It is critical, it was critical, and still is critical, that the Messiah, the mother of the Messiah, be a virgin. In order to fulfill the prophecies in Isaiah and others, and who says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Matthew reminded his readers of that same prophecy, which is crucial in verifying Jesus' identity. She could not be married or the world would assume that there, he had an earthly father, that Christ would have an earthly father. Or she could, you know, she had to be also married, because otherwise they thought she was just a tramp. And again, that could stain the image of our Christ who was born. She couldn't have any bad reputation at all, like I said. Not even her own family would have believed a virgin birth had it not been for this angel. And why the virgin birth? And bypassing the human nature, sin has been circumvented and allowed the Messiah to be born a sinless man. Mary was also from Nazareth. Prophecies had given hundreds of years before Jesus' birth declared that the Messiah would be one of little reputation. To be called a Nazarene or a Galilean was something of an insult in those days. Had Mary been wealthy or socially prestigious or from an affluent family, Jesus would not have had the opportunity or the easy connection with the lowly people that he had, the ones he came to save. But because he was from Nazareth, Mary's hometown, the humility and commonness prophesied about him was fulfilled. Now, you'll hear many strange ideas about Mary. Some make her out to be the intercessor to God, someone to whom we should pray. In other words, to get what we need, to get to God quicker, closer. While others do the other extreme, they discount her totally. She was just a woman doing a deed. But I see Mary kind of like this. Mary, like Abraham or Noah or Moses, is an example of someone who received God's grace and were faithful servants to it. We call them saints, and their lives and deeds are recorded in order that we too may imitate their faithfulness, but not that they should ever be worshipped. They wouldn't want it, and it's not right. Mary was just a person, a saint that God used for his purposes, not unlike you. God has a purpose for you, and you too are saints. It is important to note that she was chosen not because she was more holy than other people. The angel addresses her as highly favored and blessed, and that is a reference to God's uniqueness of the task that God had assigned her, not to any level of virtuousness that she had herself. Mary was surely a godly woman, but that is not the point. Gabriel's emphasis on her privilege, not her piety. That's his emphasis. She had the privilege, not the piety. She had found favor with God. But that says more about God's goodness, really, than it does Mary's. She was the recipient of God's grace, his undeserved favor. And you too, my friends, are that recipient too. Mary gives us a good example of total devotion to the Lord in her answer to Gabriel. I am the Lord's servant. May it be unto me as you have said. What an answer. What faith. What strength. Though tradition says much about Mary, for example, it said that she died in 33 AD and she was either buried in Ephesus or Jerusalem and nobody knows for sure, the Bible gives us really one good last glimpse of her. The scene is at the upper room in Jerusalem where the apostles had gathered after Christ had been crucified and risen. And it's in Acts it records this. These all continued in one accord with prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary was there not to receive homage, nor adoration, nor sympathy, but to worship with those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God from sin, our Savior from sin. The Bible really leaves her there an example of faith and humility, wisdom and courage, obedience and service for every Christian to look at and perhaps try to follow. May we always have the wisdom and grace to answer God's call, whatever it is, and answer it in the way that Mary did. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Amen.